This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back, everyone. What an amazing conversation. What an ill story. My guest today is Victoria Aslanyan, CEO of Armaz Winery. Armaz Winery is located all the way in Armenia. Before we continue with our conversation, Victoria, I wanted to thank you and your dad for, you know, for having the vision, for having the love of Armenia, for, you know, going and establishing this winery and all the hardships that you went to. But
thank you.
With your effort, you brought and you paved a way for so many more wines and wineries to come. You inspire them to make better wines. You know, when you make a quality product, people look up to you and they want to make it same way. So thank you again for doing that. And thank you for being here, for sharing your story.
Before
the break, we talked about, you know, the establishment of the winery and how you moved back after moving to United States. I wanted for you to share the actual, maybe the process, how the winery was built and what went through there, and then how did you decide which varietals to grow?
So, okay, in terms of the varieties, this actually happened before my arrival, so before 2009. But they were chosen based on what varieties thrive best in that particular terroir. So Voskehat is, you know, perfect in the Aragatsotn region. Kangun, Vekatseteli as well. Vekatseteli is a Georgian variety. It's actually a cross between Chardonnay. Kangun is a cross between Chardonnay and Vekatseteli, and it's mostly used for brandy, so we have that as well. Garmrajut is my favorite Armenian grape. It's because I think it's actually the character of Armenians as well. It's half wild, and it's very, very different. It's unlike 99% of grapes in the world. The juice of the berry inside the grape berry is actually red. So only 1% of grapes in the world have that character. Some of the better known varieties that have that character are Grenache, Tanat, right? So, and Garmadahut. So I love this grape, and we make
there's a really cool name for it. It's called like I cannot pronounce it. It's like tertential, like grapes. Yeah, the skins and the flesh is red. But
exactly.
Please go
so
ahead.
You get this, even for, we make a rosé from this, and everyone is always, you know, shocked by the color because it's this ruby red rosé where we don't even use skin contact. It's just the color of the juice. So it has lots of character, lots of flavor, especially berries, like red berries and also white roses. And so it's, I love that grape. We make 4 wines from it now, actually. Our rosé, our Garmadahut red dry wine, our Garmadahut reserve, and now also our Geet Cred. So that's how, and also some other grapes were planted that throughout time we noticed that, okay, in the winery, this is not the direction we want to go at. And we saw that, for instance, Voskehat, definitely we need more, Garmadahut, we need more. And with that intention, you know, with that approach, that's also why the Areni grape, which we do have some in our vineyards, but this is the only grape that we purchase from outside of our estate. So we bring it from the Yeregnadzor region, which is where that grape thrives because of the soil mm-hmm. that it thrives in, which is more clay characteristic, whereas ours is more rocky soil. So that's why it was intentional, all of it was. When I came in 2009, so still, I mean, nonstop construction. We were building the Great Wall of Armaz, as we call it, the 17-kilometer, 8-mile wall that completely encompasses the estate. The foundation of the winery was being built, and also some office areas or some rest areas, because even at that point, we didn't have that. But currently, so we have a world-class winery and distillery. We have a boutique hotel. We have a tasting room. We have outdoor event spaces, kids playing areas. We have 4 horses. We have a farm and lake that are currently under construction. And we actually found our own artisanal water source. But it's very funny because when we started digging, you know, we were assured we'd find it at 150 meters. Long story short, when we reached 200, we wanted to cut our losses. There's no water. And, you know, they assured us that, no, let us continue to drill on our own, at our own expense. And if you find water, you'll pay. If we don't, you won't. And so my father and I had a conversation, and we were like, well, you know, at this rate, maybe we hit oil. Let them drill. But at 327 meters, we found water. Yeah. No oil, but water. But at 327 meters, it's like a ridiculous expense to bring it up. So in the meantime, you know, we built, we completely brought the state irrigation, all of that we built to service our land, drinking water. We built an 8-kilometer, you know, pipes to bring in drinking water, roads, electricity was brought from 15 kilometers away. So basically we built a little city. And in the first few years, there was more than 400 people working there, you know, because of this nonstop construction and agricultural development. So when I came in, I started researching. I did a course with UC Davis, which is one of the best in California, well, in the States, really, for viticulture and enology. I did that online. And then I started visiting Italy, you know, several times, weeks at a time. I visited every production facility for barrels, pipes, refrigeration units, you know, crusher, destemmer, weighing system, tanks, bottling lines, you name it. You know, and also visiting the different wineries to see how it's implemented and all the different ways that it can be constructed. And then in 2009, right before that, actually, in 2009, in November, once every 2 years, there's a CIMEI, which is in Milan. It's this huge expo for winery equipment. And we met the people we want to work with. And so over 4 years, we had Italian constructors, engineers, designers, I mean, live in Armenia. We actually built the boutique hotel for them because for 2 years, wow, a little over 2 years, they were doing construction. And then a little under 2 years, ongoing trainings for our staff. Because, and one of the biggest problems was, first of all, everything, absolutely everything, like to nuts and bolts, was imported from Italy. So, and no one knew, except for them, you know, the Italians who were working on it, how to service it, how to construct it, how to use it, how to maintain it. So a lot of learning, a lot of training, and unfortunately also trial and error. You know, we came 2012, which was the first year that we opened our winery. We kind of call it affectionately Murphy's year because so many things went wrong, you know, but it forced us to solve, resolve, and just we were working on adrenaline, you know, and there were months, literally months, that we worked 22-hour shifts. Like my father and I would take turns sleeping for an hour in between, especially during harvest. So, but we did it. And of course, we made some mistakes, some much more expensive than others. And of course, there was, I mean, it was chaos in the sense that now imagine during that process, you know, I always say we had a colorful array of people because so many different personality types, you know, and not just personality, but like Soviet Union mentality, a young student mentality, an Armenian raised and, you know, educated in the States. That's me. My father, he's in a class of his own, you know, farmers, educated workers, and then Italians from the South, Italians from the North. They're all very, very different, you know, different age groups, different experiences, different perspectives, different viewpoints. And at every turn, everyone, you know, looks at me and says, make a decision. You know? So that was fun. But, you know,
sounds like lots of fun. Yeah. It sounds very exciting.
At times, it felt like it was chaos. And actually, to this day, I have a plaque posted right outside of my office that says, all great things are preceded by chaos. So we'll just wait. And I mean, and we did. We know that we've accomplished something great. You know, we're still in the midst of it. Now it's time for sales promotion, you know. But at that time, the first more than a decade, it was all about creation, building, constructing, learning, branding, and figuring it out. Like there was aside from a very vague general idea of what we wanted to do, which was like Napa Valley, you know, other than that, we had absolutely no roadmap as to how to do that, you know, so it did. It took a lot of willpower, a lot of perseverance, but things definitely got better after we had wine, you know. So once we had wine, it was a little more fun, that's for sure. And it continues to be, but we still have a lot of obstacles, you know, and the main obstacle, again, and in terms of the vineyards, for instance, you know, also imagine at that time I was in my late 20s, a decade ago, right? And now, and going into Armenia in a village and managing 400 people, like this is a very traditional mindset, very, and especially in the villages, but not just, generally speaking, you know, so to have this young woman come and be the boss at in the beginning was really offsetting, you know, and they were just like confused. Of course, time healed that because we all got to know each other. They saw our commitment. They saw our approach, our love, you know, towards what we're doing and also towards them because they are a part of what we are doing. And also when they saw how absolutely committed and involved I am, I know on a different level, I also gained their respect. So lots of really fun stories just being a woman there. And then, you know, now the biggest thing is, okay, now we went through what felt like was the most difficult part, but later I found out, no, this is the most difficult part because no matter how you look at it, as difficult as it may be, and, you know, the setbacks that and bottlenecks that you may have in the creation process is still a closed environment. Whereas when you go into sales, now you're like, it's you and the world. You know, so that makes it very difficult, especially again. And in the first few years, a lot of people didn't know. So many people just don't know where Armenia is, let alone our history. Over the past few years, a lot of things have happened that have put Armenia on the map, and not just in terms of the wine industry, just generally speaking, like the Pope visiting, like Charles Aznavour in his life and in his death, like Kim Kardashian visiting, like the Velvet Revolution. So like all of these things happened that Armenia was in a positive way in the news. Right. And so people are like, OK, a lot of people, most people I know actually know Armenians, but very few of them know where Armenia is, let alone that we make wine. So to get our foot into the door, you know, to be represented in wine shops or restaurants, and especially the better known ones, has been excruciatingly difficult because we were also simultaneously trying to create the demand. Which now I wanted is a completely different ball game, you know, completely different. Like we export to 12 countries, right? So all over.
I was going to ask you. Tell me about your, of course, where the wines are. But I wanted to ask you how many non-Armenian visitors, you know, before COVID, of course, how many industry people, you know, like wine industry professionals from all over the world are interested in coming and how many do come through the door. And I guess also the second part of the question will be, you know, I know that you participate in the international competitions. How does that help to, you know, to spread awareness and create awareness and advertise the wine region and for people to come and visit?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely necessary in the beginning steps because, you know, you have to move from saying, listen, this is a fantastic wine. I swear to God, believe me, it's our estate bottled wines. It's the quality of the grapes. It's the winemaker who is, by the way, from Italy. Emilio Del Medico has been with us from our very first vintage. It's this world-class winery and distillery. Take my word for it. Okay, that doesn't work. You know, you need some backup. So in the beginning, yes, we participated in a lot of international wine competition awards, and we were very successful. So to date, we have more than 40 international wine competition awards, including from the absolute most prestigious ones. So Decanter in London, Concours Mondial de Bruxelles, Mundus Vini from Germany, wine enthusiasts in the United States. Our Galmarahit Reserve was featured in the April 2020 edition as editor's choice. and got 92 points. That was a very big deal. Masters of Wine have judged it, like Lisa Granick, Forbes magazine. We were featured in Forbes magazine, Foreign Affairs magazine, LA Times. So these kind of give you street cred, as it were, right? When your wines are decorated with medals and points, so in a matter where the consumer can understand it. In the beginning, that's very, very important. But that just gets your foot in the door, right? That will mm-hmm. help you have a place in a wine shop, in a restaurant, with lots of convincing. But then the average consumer has to purchase it. And in order for them to try something new, because they're investing in that experience, right? Whether it's $10 or $30 or how much ever, it's still an investment, right? It's a discretionary income that they're using. So a lot of times, unless they've heard about it a lot, whether by word of mouth or other kind of, you know, marketing, they're probably not going to take that bet. People stick to what they like. Even when they're interested in something new, they still want to have an assurance that they're on the right path. So that's why a lot of the expos that we participate in, a lot of the tourists that we have, a lot of the events that we hold, like Wine and Jazz Festival, Blessing of the Grapes, Harvest and Harmony, these are all events, annual events that we hold, or we used to prior to COVID, and we certainly will continue to after COVID, you know, hold at our estate for people to have a chance to come and see it. Now, in terms of industry professionals, you know, journalists and distributors, importers, whatnot, yes, most people will come if you pay for them to come, you know, these people whose time is very valuable to them. And yeah, they are flown all over the world, but this requires another huge amount of investment, because we're not talking about one or two people. I mean, if you really want to make a mark, we're talking about hundreds of people coming consistently. We've been very lucky that, yes, in part over the years, I wouldn't say hundreds, but certainly tens of important industry professionals have been invited on behalf of the government. We have also invited several, you know, several important industry professionals on our behalf, and also visited and, you know, done events all over the world aside from what we do in Armas. And always we're first and foremost promoting the renaissance of Armenian wine and then Armas, because that really has to be the foundation. You know, there is only so far you can go as a single company, because especially in the wine industry, you open up a menu or you walk down the aisle in a wine shop, you know, it's usually by either country or variety. So very few people know our varieties at this point. We have to focus on having our aisle in the country zone. Right. And so it's very important for people to know where we are, who we are, what we represent, what we've done and what we're doing. And that requires a lot of effort.
Since we talked about the store and the aisle, and our conversation is just flying. You know, we have been, I don't know, we just started and it seems like, you know, we have like a couple of minutes before it ends. I'd love to have you back and talk more about other projects. Where can the listeners purchase your wine, which stores in person, where they can buy it online?
Okay, so in Southern California, we're pretty well represented. I actually just moved back to LA to make sure that we're very well represented as the years go by, and not just in California, but throughout the United States. So Mission Liquors, all of the Mission Liquors have the full selection online or in their stores. missionliquor.com. Remedy Liquor in Burbank also has the full selection online and in the store. In Glendale, House of Liquor, Glendale Liquor, glendaleliquor.com also has the full selection, and they ship practically throughout the United States. We are in Super King markets, the supermarkets in their wine shops. We're in John's Supermarket. We're at Wally's, Santa Monica and Beverly Hills. And if they get sold out, because they order very small portions at a time, you let them know. And really, this is something that I ask of anyone who's interested in or who would like to in any way, shape or form contribute to the growth of this industry. Wherever you go, just ask for Armenian wine, because that already one person, two person, the third time is, let's say, one of us, one of our wineries goes to try to be represented there, then they will take the product. So that's really, really important. So yeah, those are the main ones. House of Liquor, Liquor Castle, Sherman Way Marketplace, lots of minor liquor stores here and there. But for the full selection, RemedyLiquor.com, MissionLiquor.com, WinesOfArmenia.com, GlendaleLiquor.com.
And then your website as well. Like if they are unsure and someone is listening from out of state, how they can find you, maybe you can share the social media and your
Absolutely.
Website before
so
we
best,
say goodbye.
Yeah, our website is ArmasWines.com. Of course, we can't sell wines through our website because that's in Armenia. So each state, each country has their thing. But Facebook, Armas Wines, Instagram, Armas Wines. Just send us a message. My name is Victoria Aslanyan. You can friend request me on Facebook, Victoria Armas on Instagram. Just write to me. And, you know, if you're interested, especially in big quantities, we can certainly direct you and help you get the best price. But our wines are priced very reasonably. The Armas wines are anywhere between $10 to $30. And then we also have our Geek wines that are less than
$10. All right. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you for sharing your story. I can't wait to go and try the wines right now.
Great. Enjoy them. I trust you will. Cheers. Ganat. Thank you for your time. It was my pleasure. I hope to have the opportunity again sometime soon.
Thank you.
And ahead of Easter, happy Easter to everyone who celebrates it.